Please be seated. The Lord be with you. We welcome you to God's house this morning. Today we come into God's house to hear His Word and to let that Word have its way with us as we say goodbye to a dear friend. Mom, Grandma, sister, dear friend in Christ in the church, Betty wasn't a member here at the congregation for as long as some of the other folks here, but truly a pillar and a bedrock of our congregation. We pray that God would bless us as we hear His Word and as we have that Word bring comfort and peace, forgiveness, and even joy, all for the name and sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus. The outline of our worship service is in our bulletin for today. Our opening hymn is number 702, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of service on page 278 and following. We have a worship insert for our service today, and the readings for the day are printed on that service, and we encourage you and invite you to follow along with the liturgical portions and with the songs as well. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house, to hear Your Word, and to have You and Your Word bring comfort to our hearts, our bodies, our souls that are aching at the loss of our dear friend Betty. Heavenly Father, we thank You for calling her to faith in the waters of holy baptism. We thank You for sustaining that faith. We thank You for her faithful Christian witness. And above all, Lord, we thank You for the gift of Jesus, whose perfect life, whose bloody death, and whose glorious resurrection gives us hope and peace and comfort and contentment in the midst of our trials and in the midst of our greatest trial, coming face to face with death itself. Bless us today with Your Word, and may Your Word bring comfort that the world cannot give. And help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and that grand and glorious reunion that You have prepared for all who cling to Jesus. Heavenly Father, it's in His powerful and precious name that we gather here this morning. Amen. Amen. Hymn 702.
worship is found on page 278 in the front part of your hymnal. Page 278, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In holy baptism, Betty was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all her sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?
We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His."
We turn to the Psalm of the day, Psalm 23. It is found printed on your bulletin insert. We will speak it together.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for Your loving kindness shown to Betty and to all Your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of the good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not, says, say to the city of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Alleluia! Alleluia! Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead.
To Him be glory and power forever.
And
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is from John, chapter 14.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 279.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing now our sermon hymn, hymn 754. Please be seated.
members of Good Shepherd Congregation, family and friends that have gathered here this morning in respect and to say goodbye, and especially to the closest of close family members, grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, text that Betty had specifically asked that we meditate on today, from the Holy Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 17. Now when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met Him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever You ask from God, God will give You." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to Him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to Him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Dear friends in Christ, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Do you believe this? Those are really hard words to believe. When somebody dies, yet they can live. If you die in Christ, you don't really die. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He asked Martha, and then a little bit later in this chapter, He asked Mary the same question. Do you believe this? I think that's probably a good question for us to ponder today. There are so many voices telling us so many things about life and about death. But it's really hard to know who or what to listen to. It's really hard to know what's true and what's right. Some of the deep questions of life are always before us. Who am I? Why am I here? Is there any meaning or purpose to this life? What happens when I die? Some of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the TV show MASH that ran for 12 years throughout the 70s and early 80s. You got to follow the exploits of some crazy doctors and nurses with a mobile army surgical hospital, the 4077, during the Korean War. Toward the end of the series, one of the newer doctors was a rich, hoity-toity man from Boston. He just knew that he had all the answers. He was smarter than everyone else. He was above everyone else. He tolerated the little people under him. Charles Emerson Winchester III. There's one episode when Charles and Hawkeye are out tending the wounded when a sniper starts to shoot. They pull the young man under the bus and they work on him frantically. He's going into cardiac arrest. Young man dies. They bring him into the tent. They keep working on him. And even though he had been clinically dead for several minutes, the doctors miraculously were able to bring him back to life. That could have been the end of the episode. Except Charles takes off his hat and he sees the bullet hole in his hat that just missed him. It could have been him. And now the man with all the answers, now the man who has it all figured out, now Charles is on this personal quest. He wants to know. No. He needs to know what happens when you die. He can't wait for this young man to come to. He hounds him. He peppers him. People finally have to drag Charles away from this young man. What was it like? What do you remember? Tell me everything, everything you can think of. But the young man can't remember hardly anything. That's not enough for Charles. Against orders, he drives to the front. He needs to be where people are surrounded by death. He needs to talk to someone who can actually give him an answer. What is on the other side? Is death the end? Or does death lead to something else? Is there such a thing as an afterlife? And if there is, what is it? The episode ends with Charles holding the hand of a young man who is dying. Charles says, "Tell me what you see." "I don't see anything. I only smell bread." And then he dies. Charles gets no answers. He's left wondering. He's left with a hole in his soul. The same hole that is in our soul when we have questions that have no answer. Questions about life, questions about death. My friends, our text from John 11 is exactly the same thing as this MASH episode, with one difference. The people are all gathered around. Why? Well, Lazarus is dead. Jesus, this wonderful miracle worker who walks on water and calms the storm and feeds thousands of people at a time, who heals the sick and raises the dead. When they sent for Jesus, Jesus didn't come. It was just a short walk away. "Why didn't you come, Jesus? Where were you?" The family is gathered around. They're mourning and they're grieving. Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus misses the funeral. When he finally comes, Martha runs out to meet him. "Where in the heck have you been? If you would have been here, Jesus, Lazarus wouldn't have died. You let us down. What's going on?" When Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again," that's little comfort for Martha. "Yes, yes, yes. I know my catechism. I know that at the end of the world, all the dead bodies will rise. That doesn't do me any good now. I hurt now. My brother is dead now. I want an answer now." My friends, we can look to the world for our answers. We can look inside of ourselves for our answers. We can look to self-help books or self-proclaimed experts. But I would submit to you today, if you really want to know an answer or answers to these deep, penetrating questions of life and of death, there's only one place to turn. Turn to the one who was alive and then was dead and is now alive. Anybody who has conquered death and the grave, I'm going to listen to. Jesus is the one, the only one, who not only says He is the resurrection and the life, He took death head on. He went to Calvary's cross, stone cold dead. His body is laid in a tomb, stone cold dead. 3 days later, God raised Him back to life. Testimony that every word out of the mouth of Jesus is true. We can cling to it in life and in death. What does God's Word teach us? God's Word teaches us that we are not all basically good people. No, there is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us, from the aged to the tiniest, tiniest baby, have any merit or worthiness in us. We are by nature sinners, deserving of the wrath of God. My friends, that is a terrible, terrible reality. And people in the world know it. They know it, but they don't want to admit it. They know it, and they will cling to every kind of false idol, false god, false hope that they can come up with. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father apart from me. When God gave that first gospel promise in the Garden of Eden, He told Adam and Eve, in the midst of their sin, in the midst of their rebellion, in the midst of the reality of death and all the consequences of sin that they brought on themselves and all of the world, He said that one day He would send a Savior, the seed of a woman, who would crush the serpent's head once and for all. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament, God continued to give that promise even with more details. This Savior, this seed of a woman, would be a king. And He would be a servant. He would suffer. He would be born of a virgin. He would come from the tribe of Judah. He would be born in a little obscure town called Bethlehem. And when the time was right, when the time had fully come, God does as He always does. He kept His Word. He sent forth His Son, God in the flesh, born of a woman, under the law that condemns us, born to fulfill the law. That's what Jesus did in His perfect life. He kept all of the rules. He kept all of the laws. He didn't do that for Himself. He did it for you and me because we can't. Jesus didn't sin, not once. He didn't have to die. But He willingly took your sin and my sin and the sin of the world into Himself as He hung on Calvary's cross, bleeding and dying. Jesus, 3 days later, overcomes sin, death, and the grave, never to die again. If someone said, I can offer you eternal life, most of us would be willing to cash out our savings account, our retirement, all of our CDs, for a chance at that opportunity. But you can't buy it. Gift. Sometimes because it's a gift, we think that it's not that important or that special. everything Jesus accomplished. His life, death, and resurrection. He delivers at the baptismal font. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? How can this be? How can simple water do such great things? It's not the water. It's the Word of God connected to the water that delivers the goods, that delivers Good Friday and Easter to us at the baptismal font. Again, from the most aged to the tiniest little baby, God delivering the goods. That's what He did for Betty, wrapping her with the robe of Christ's righteousness, filling her with forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's the faith that we saw manifested here at Good Shepherd. That's the faith that we saw manifested in our family. That's the faith that we saw manifested in ways too numerous to count. I shared with the family when Harold and Betty came here to Good Shepherd. It was during Lent. And we do a little overkill during Lent. We have two services on Wednesday. When it gets to Holy Week, we have service on Palm Sunday where the kids wave the palms and we make a big deal out of it. We've got service on Holy Monday, on Holy Tuesday, on Holy Wednesday, two on Monday, Thursday, two on Good Friday, a really long 2-hour Easter vigil, three services on Saturday. When Harold and Betty got here, they'd never been in a church that did anything like this before. They were to every service. Every service. Not in some attempt to impress God. They were simply hungry for the Word. Hungry for the Word. It was very, very rare when we would have a Sunday morning worship service or a Wednesday evening worship service or a Sunday morning Bible study or a Wednesday evening Bible study or a Thursday afternoon Bible study that Betty wasn't here. And when she wasn't, the next time you saw her, she would always explain where she was, not to get an excuse from the teacher, but to find out what she missed. She loved our radio station because it allowed her to be able to hear the Word of God and to be with her brothers and sisters in Christ, even during these last several months when she couldn't physically be here as much and as often as she wanted to be. It's going to be impossible for me to look at our ginormous, beautiful banners without thinking of Betty's meticulous attention to detail and her desire to have God's Word shine through her artistic ability. It's going to be impossible for me to have a funeral lunch without thinking of Betty's egg salad sandwiches. You better keep it going, Shirley. It's going to be hard to be in God's house and see that empty spot. She was a model church member, always had a smile on her face. Even when you knew she didn't want to smile, she worked up enough courage to smile. That's why we sang that sermon hymn. In the midst of her cares and burdens and cancer, she clung to the Word and the hope that is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ for her. My friends, it'd be really easy, especially for the pastors, if we had a whole congregation of Harold and Betty's. Special people. Now with a grand family reunion. A family reunion that we can only imagine here on this side of heaven. But my friends, the questions and the doubts and the worries and the fears, they're real for all of us. Pastors, leaders in the church, people who show up every Sunday, those questions are real. Those doubts are real. And there's only one way to deal with those worries, those fears, those questions, those doubts. And that's the Word of God, where God teaches us and encourages us and strengthens us for this difficult journey called life. Who reminds us that even in the midst of our shortcomings, the forgiveness of sins is real. It's as real as the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I made the comment one time in visiting with Betty. I said, "You know, Betty, I wish I had a magic wand. Or I wish I had the right Bible passage to read to make your cancer go away." And she looked at me with that look and she says, "Oh, Pastor, that's not what I want. I know that I don't have any promise from God that He will take away my cancer. I have a promise from God that He won't leave me alone with my cancer." Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is not something we can create in ourselves. It is a gift of God that is strengthened and grows as it is fed by word and sacrament. It was that very word and sacrament that sustained Betty. And it is that very word and sacrament that will sustain you. It was a few months ago now when Betty pulled me off to the side after one Wednesday night church service. And she said, "Pastor, you got a few minutes?" I said, "Sure." She came and sat down in my office and she said, "I'm not going to take any more treatments. They're just too hard on my body. It's not worth it. It's not worth it." We visited for a little bit. And I looked at her and I said, "Betty, there are many people who, in their weakness or in their idolatry, want to hang on to every second of life, no matter the cost, because they're not really sure what's on the other side." With that beautiful, beautiful smile that the good Lord gave her, She looked at me and said, "Oh, Pastor, I know where I'm going. I know that my Redeemer lives." My friends, today Jesus Christ is speaking to you. He's really speaking to the whole world. But as He spoke to Martha on the side of the road that day, He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die." Do you believe this? May God, in His grace and mercy, grant us a faith that clings to these words and to this Jesus today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I would invite you to turn in your hymnal to hymn 938. This was a special request by Betty. We're not going to sing this hymn. It's an old Luther hymn, and in my humble opinion, the tune is unsingable. But I would invite you to follow along with the words as Connie plays, "In peace and joy I now depart." How a Christian lives, how a Christian dies.
Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, You have knit Your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give to Your whole church in heaven and on earth Your light and Your peace. Lord, in Your mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with Him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in Your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of Your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with Him at Your heavenly banquet. Lord, in Your mercy, give to the family of Betty and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in Your loving care, that, casting all their sorrow on You, they may know the consolation of Your love. Lord, in Your mercy, give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of Your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in Your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things that we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in Your mercy, receive our thanks for Betty and for all the blessings You bestow on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see You face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in Your mercy, O God of all grace, You sent Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give You thanks that by His death He destroyed the power of death, and by His resurrection He opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because He lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from Your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting His promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. Lord, now You let Your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which You have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal You to the nations and the glory of Your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, You gather the lambs of Your flock into the arms of Your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give to you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. After the committal at Yankee Hill Cemetery, everyone is invited to the committal. The family would wish to invite you to join us for a lunch in the fellowship hall. Let's have a prayer for our meal. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You for the faith that You gave to Betty in her baptism, for sustaining her and feeding her throughout this life on the Word, the Holy Sacraments. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You that You have sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for Betty, to die for all of us, to bring us the salvation that we need, to give us the hope, the sure and certain hope of everlasting life. We ask You, Lord, that You'll be with us in the meal that we are about to receive. May it nourish our bodies as Your Word always and continually nourishes our souls. We thank You for the hands that prepared it, May it bless us for the day ahead. In your holy, your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.